Is God still in the business of changing lives? I remember Tom. Tom was the police chief in the town where I served. Tom was a hard guy. Hard in his language, hard in the way that he dealt with people. And then Tom met Jesus. And Jesus just turned him around, softened him up. Last time I knew Tom, he was teaching a junior high Sunday school class. Now that takes patience, doesn't it? Or I think, you know about Chuck Colson. You know the story about Chuck Colson. He was part of the Watergate bunch with Nixon. Because of that, he went to prison. In prison, he met Jesus. Started one of the best prison ministries that's out there called Prison Fellowship. Before his death, wrote a number of important works about defending the faith. His life just turned around because he met Jesus. We're going to look at an example of that today. It's in Luke chapter 5, the first 11 verses. And we're going to see how Peter's life began to change because he experienced Jesus. And we're going to think about three words. Think about three words. The first word is obey. When we obey the commands of Jesus, it makes a difference. And obedience leads us to experience the power of Jesus. And when we experience the power of Jesus, we worship the majesty of Jesus. It's kind of like a spiral staircase. There's some other words, I think, right? There we go. One more. Think of it like that. Think of it like a spiral staircase. When we obey, we experience. When we obey the commands of Jesus, we experience the power of Jesus. When we experience the power of Jesus, our response is one of worshiping the majesty of Jesus. And that leads us back up the staircase to obedience. So that's what we're going to think about today. Luke chapter 5 and beginning in verse 1. Scripture says this. Now it happened that while the crowd was pressing around him and listening to the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, and he saw two boats lying at the edge of the lake, but the fishermen had gotten out of them and were washing their nets. And he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little way from the land. And he sat down and began teaching the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Simon answered and said, "Master, we worked hard all night and caught nothing, but I will do as you say and let down the nets." When they had done this, they enclosed a great quantity of fish, and their nets began to break. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat for them to come and help them. And they came and filled both of the boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw that, he fell down at Jesus' feet, saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For his amazement had seized him and all his companions because of the catch of fish which they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not fear. From now on you'll be catching men." And when they brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. Let's pray. Father, today we pray that as we look at your word and this account in Luke's gospel of Peter and how his life was changed by encountering Jesus, that you will speak to us about how you, Father, through your son Jesus, can change our lives. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let's take a minute and look at the story. Look at the first five verses, first of all, and just kind of see what happened. It says the crowd was pressing in around Jesus, right? Big crowd. And so the crowd was so great, pressing up against the lake, he took one of the boats, Peter's boat. He said, "Can I use your boat?" And he got in Peter's boat. He went out a little bit away from the land. So he's out on the lake and the people all gather on the shore. It provided a great opportunity for him to speak to them. Now, when that was done, he turns to Peter and he says to Peter, "Now, I want you to let down your nets again." How did Peter respond to that? Well, he said that, these aren't his words, but he said, "That doesn't really make sense. We've been fishing all night long and we've not caught anything." Now, I'm not a fisherman. Some of you may be. But I understand that the heat of the day is not when you want to fish. And that's when they were. They'd fished all night, the best time to catch fish. And now, we got a sound problem? Oh, okay. All right. They fished all night. They were professional fishermen. They knew when they could catch fish and when they couldn't. And it didn't make any sense to let down the nets now. They'd been fishing all night long. And yet, what
did they do? We'll go back and look at the text.
Verse 5. Simon answered and said, "Master, we've worked hard all night. We've caught nothing. But I will do as you say and let down the nets." See what Simon Peter said? He said to Jesus, this doesn't make sense. We've been working all night. We haven't caught anything. There's no reason to think we'll catch anything now. But I tell you what, since you said it, I'll do it. Now, that's the example of obedience. Jesus said it. Peter did it, even when it didn't make sense. See, a lot of times I think that's where we have trouble with obedience. We don't have any trouble obeying Jesus when it makes sense. We don't have any trouble doing what he tells us to do when, that makes sense. But what happens when he tells us to do something that doesn't make sense? What happens when he calls us to do something that's beyond our abilities, that takes a lot of faith, that just we can't see how it's ever going to work out? This is an example when it didn't make sense, when it was beyond their ability to see it, when they didn't see how it was going to work out. Peter just thought it's a futility. "Well, I'll go do it again, Lord, but I don't see how it's going to work. We haven't caught anything yet." Obedience means, obedience to the commands of Jesus means that when he tells us to do something, we do it even when we don't see how it's going to work out, even when it doesn't make sense to us. Let me tell you a couple stories. I served a church in Dalhart, Texas for a number of years ago. And the churches in the community decided that we wanted to put, now this will give you some idea how long ago it was. It was in the late 90s. We wanted to put a Jesus video in every house in Dalhart in one day, on one Sunday afternoon. Now, here's why that didn't make sense. They were about $5 a piece. We figured we needed 4,000 of them. It wasn't a big town. So what is 5 times 4,000? Some of you are math teachers, right? 20,000. We didn't know where the 20,000 was going to come from. It also required that most of the churches in town cooperate together to get that done. See how that might be a problem sometimes. And it required us having a lot of people on one day to do all of that. So we did it anyway. I'm not saying like I did it, but we did it. The churches did it. And I'll tell you how that worked out later. But it was an example of when it didn't make sense. We didn't see how we could get it done. But Jesus really told us to do it. Or I think about a church here in Michigan. About 3 years ago, a guy named Scott Blanchard moved to Michigan. Now, Scott has one interesting characteristic. He's almost entirely deaf. When kids ask him why he talks funny, he says, "Well, I'm from England." But he's deaf. But he's not pastoring a deaf church. He's pastoring a hearing church, and he came here to Michigan to start a church from scratch. Now, that seems a little tough, doesn't it? I mean, you have some idea how hard it is to start a church. And he started with basically two other couples, group of six, to start a church. It's called Lake Point Church. Didn't make sense, but he felt like God was leading him to come back to Michigan and start that church. I'll talk more about that in a minute, too. Here's the point. The point is that the first step in really seeing our lives changed by the glory of Jesus is learning to obey what Jesus tells us to do. Learning to act when Jesus tells us to act. Now, how do we do that? I think there's a couple of words that help us understand how we do that. One is attentiveness. Attentiveness. In other words, when Jesus speaks to us, we listen. Now, how does he speak? Well, most of the time he speaks through his word. And as we read scripture, he speaks to us personally and we say, that applies to my life. That's something I need to be doing. So we've got to be attentive to hear Jesus speak to us as we read his word. Now, if you're not reading his word, it's going to be hard for him to speak to you. And if you're reading his word and not listening for him to speak to you, it's going to be hard for him to speak to you. But if we read his word on a regular basis and listen and be attentive, we will learn to hear him. Now, I do think it requires regular, systematic Bible study. It's not like the guy that says, "I'm in financial problems. What am I going to do? I'm just going to open my Bible and point to a verse. Oh, chapter 10, I know what to do." Think about it. That was a joke. You guys,
But people do that, right? They just say, well, I'm in an emergency, I got a point, you know, or, well, we'll leave it at that.
Attentiveness, and I think the other thing that we have to think about is attitude. We have to, like Peter, we have to be willing to act when Jesus tells us to. We have to be willing to step out and take a chance in faith because we believe that's the way the Lord is leading us to go. When we hear Jesus speak, and when we obey what he tells us to do, it's the first step towards seeing our lives really changed by the glory of Jesus. Now, in this case, what happened when they listened? What happened? Look at verses 6 and 7, first of all. Look at verses 6 and 7. What happened to them when they did what Jesus said? They dropped their nets, and they what happened? They brought in a great catch of fish, didn't they?
More than they could imagine. More fish than they can handle in one boat. So Peter calls to his partners, James and John. They bring the other boat to bring all the fish in. And they recognized that it was a miracle. Now, you know, there's one guy that writes about, one commentator that said, well, they looked down in the water, and the water was clear, and they saw a bunch of fish that weren't there before. They recognized that because they obeyed, it was a miracle. They experienced the power of Jesus. See, I think it's important for us to understand that until we obey, we usually don't experience the power. Because most of the time, if you're like me, you just do the best you can. You just do the best you can. And what happens when we do the best we can? We get the best results we can get. And we never have the opportunity to see God at work. But when we step out in faith, when we do more than we know we can do on our own, and we're absolutely dependent upon Jesus to step in to see positive results, what happens? Then we see Jesus at work. If we're not willing to take that step of faith, if we're not willing to obey, if we're not willing to do more than we can do, we'll never experience the power of Jesus. They only experienced the power of Jesus because they did something that didn't make sense, that Jesus told them to do, that was more than they could do.
I think that's an important lesson. They succeeded or failed in their fishing by the power of Jesus, because of what Jesus told them to do. If we're not willing to step out and succeed or fail in the power of Jesus, we're not ever going to experience the power of Jesus. We just experience what we can do. Now, I'll tell you again about the story in Dalhart, because it's a great story.
We were able to bring together almost all the churches in town. Someone gave us most of the money that we needed, and the churches had in their budgets enough to do the other. On one Sunday afternoon, we put a Jesus video in every home in that community. And every place that someone was home, we introduced ourselves. And these were people from all different churches, knocked on the door, gave them a Jesus video, said, where do you go to church? And if they didn't have a church home, we got their name and address. Well, we had their address, right? We were at the door. We got their name. And here was what was neat. We compiled a list of all of those. We compiled it by church preference. And the church that I was in, we took all those people that had no church background, and then the next 13 weeks with our evangelism teams, we visited those homes. And every one of those 13 weeks, at least one of our evangelism teams every week saw somebody make a profession of faith in Jesus. For 13 weeks, we saw people saved because we took a step of faith back here to put those Jesus videos out and get out in the community, and we were able to follow up and see people come to faith in Jesus every week. Or I think of Scott Blanchard that came here to Michigan to start a church with 6 people. 3 years later, he's running about 190 viable churches making a difference in people's lives. He didn't do that. He stepped out in faith. He saw Jesus' power because he was willing to step out in faith. That's the message for us today.
Our lives are going to be changed by the power of Jesus when we step out in faith, when we obey, and then we experience the power of Jesus. Now, what was Peter's response when he experienced Jesus' power? Again, look at verse 8. Verses 8 and 9, the first part of verse 10, talk about Peter's experience. He says, it says that, what did he do? He fell down at Jesus' feet. That's a sign of worship, isn't it? He prostrated himself at Jesus' feet. I think some translations say at Jesus' knees, but he fell down. That's just a symbol of worship. And then he addressed Jesus as Lord. He says, "Get away from me, Lord." Now, it's important for us to know, you probably know this, that that term Lord had the idea of being God, of being deity. That in the Old Testament, the word Lord was used to describe God. In fact, when God's name came up in the Old Testament, they didn't say God's name because it was too precious. They would just say Lord. That's how they described God. That's how they addressed God. So it's an address where he acknowledges that Jesus is truly God. And finally, he acknowledges his sinfulness. "Get away from me, Lord, for I'm a sinful man." Isn't that always what happens when we really see the power and majesty of Jesus? It leads us to worship, and it leads us to acknowledge our weakness, our sinfulness. Now, I think of Isaiah in chapter 6 when he saw the Lord. And what did he say in verse 5? He says, "Depart from me. I'm ruined. I'm a man of unclean lips. I live among a people of unclean lips, for I've seen the Lord, the God of hosts." You see, when we acknowledge God, when we see him at work, when we see the power of Jesus, it leads us to worship. Worship is always just a response to the power of Jesus. It's our response when we recognize and experience the power of Jesus. A lot of times we think worship is something that we drum up. You know, we have to drum up kind of an emotional feeling and feel good. But true worship is when we experience Jesus at work. And it'll lead us to bow down and worship him. It'll lead us to acknowledge our sinfulness. And it'll lead us to acknowledge that he is Lord, that he ought to have control in our lives. I think it's really interesting here what motivated his worship. Look at verse 9. Amazement had seized him, all his companions, because of the catch which they had taken. See, when they saw the miracle, when they saw the power of Jesus, they were amazed, they were astonished, and it led them to worship him because they acknowledged and understand who he is. Again, when we see Jesus at work, we really understand his power, and it drives us to worship. It drives us to a response of gratitude, of submission, of prayer, of acknowledging him as Lord. Now I want to come back to the first word. We've talked about how when we obey, we experience. When we experience, we worship. But there's a circle here, or a helix, or like a circular staircase. Because once they'd experienced the power of God and worshiped the majesty of Jesus, there's a call to obedience again. Look at the last part of verse 10 and verse 11. Jesus says to Simon, "Do not fear. From now on, you'll be catching men." And when they brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. What did Jesus say? Jesus said, "Now here's the thing I want you to do next. I want you to give all this up and come with me. And from now on, you're going to be catching men. You're not going to be catching fish anymore. You're going to be catching men." Gives them another command. And how did they respond? Obedience. They left everything and followed him. In fact, this is a deeper level of obedience, isn't it? Because before, Peter said, "Well, I don't think that makes much sense, but I'll do it." But here there's some commitment involved in their obedience. What did they do? Well, one of the things is, it says they left everything. You think about it. They left their families to follow Jesus. They left their boats and all their equipment. They left their livelihood. They left all the material things of life to follow Jesus. It raises the question how much we're willing to surrender all those things that we have to follow Jesus. How much are we willing to obey Jesus when he asks us to surrender things, material possessions, jobs? You know, we don't have boats. Well, some of us have boats, right? They're for recreation, not for making a living like those guys. But still, he asked them to give up the material in order to grow and follow him. And then he tells them what? He tells them,
I'm going to make you to be fishers of men. He's talking about evangelism, isn't he? That's what he's talking about, leading other people to faith in Jesus. Now again, that seems to me like that's an area where a lot of Christians have problems with obedience, would you say? Is that not a problem for many of us to be faithful in sharing our faith with other people? It's hard because it is hard. It's hard because we're stepping out of the safety of our Christian lifestyle. We're stepping out of the kingdom of God and we're stepping over here into Satan's business, right? And he doesn't like that. He doesn't like it when we're trying to move people from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. He doesn't mind if we stick together as Christians and have a good time and worship God, but we get out here and start stealing his people and trying to bring them in. He fights us. And so it is hard to do evangelism. But that's what Jesus called them to do, to be obedient. And the final thing he called them to do, and this is the simplest, he just said, follow me. I mean, that maybe I should have said that first, because that's the number one thing he asked them to do. He said, just follow me. And what did they do? They gave up everything and they followed him. And they walked with him, those disciples, Peter and James and John and others, for 3 years and learned from him and made all the difference in their lives. They were willing to obey. They experienced the power of God that led to worship, and that worship led to further obedience. You know, there's a little lesson here, isn't there? If all we do is worship and never obey, something's wrong with our worship. Their worship led to further obedience.
It strikes me that these are some things that we need to be doing in our lives. We need to be following Jesus. That's an area of obedience. We need to be willing to give up the material, to let the material be used for God's glory. We need to be willing to share our faith and let other people know about Jesus just like they did. Jesus wants to be our Savior, but he also wants to be our Lord. He wants to be in control of all that we do. And that's what he was teaching them, and I think that's what he's teaching us today. So let me just kind of recap. Yeah, we're back to the, if we'll obey the commands of Jesus, we'll experience the power of Jesus, which will lead us to worship the majesty of Jesus and lead us again to obey the commands of Jesus. You see it in Peter's life. It started with Peter just saying, Lord, okay, I'll put the net out. He gathered up all those fish. He realized that it was a miracle, and he worshiped God, and then Jesus said, well, okay, now follow me. So he obeyed again. He followed Jesus. If you read through the rest of the Gospels, you see how he saw Jesus change people's lives right and left. And what happened? God used him in even greater ways. You remember, I'll go to the end of the story. Remember when Peter preached at Pentecost, on Pentecost Day in Jerusalem, and 3,000 people were saved? See, he continued to grow because he obeyed and he experienced the power and he worshiped the majesty and he continued to obey. I've experienced the same thing and you probably have too. I remember years ago when I was in school and I was struggling with sharing my faith. And I was exposed to something called Evangelism Explosion. You don't need to know about that. But I had a guy that taught me how to share my faith. And it was amazing that as I was obedient to share my faith, I began to see people come to faith in Jesus. And I tell you what, boy, when you see the power of Jesus working in somebody's life, that will lead you to worship him. That's shouting ground. And you know what? That led me to obey him in other ways, the areas in my life that weren't right, that I needed to get straightened out, that I wasn't living for the Lord. And that obedience there led me to see God bring power in other ways in my life. It's just been a continuing process. I found this process to be true. You just have to take one step at a time. Too often we make it too hard. We look at the end and we say, well, how are we going to get there? No, we just need to take one step at a time. Whatever Jesus is calling you to do right now, be obedient and take that step. It may not make any sense. It may look like it's dangerous. But whatever he's calling you to do right now, take that step. Now, you know the hardest step is? The hardest step is the first step of faith. If you've never taken that first step of faith where you said to the Lord, I'm a sinner,
I realized that I can't earn my way to heaven. I realized that Jesus died on the cross for my sin, and I'm willing to accept his death for my forgiveness. I'm willing to return away from my sin and have Jesus come into my life and take control. If you've never done that first step of faith, you're not going to experience anything else. I don't know who you are here today, but if you've never done that first step of faith, in a moment we're going to have a time for you to respond, and you come and let me or someone talk to you about that first step of faith, about accepting Jesus into your life. But my guess is most of you here have already taken that first step, but God's asking you to take another step. Because guess what? This side of heaven, we never arrive. There's always something else God has for us to do, always room for growth. And what's that next step he's asking you to take? And I would say to you today, you need to make a commitment to take that next step of faith. And when you take that step of faith, when you obey what Jesus is asking you to do right now, you'll experience his power. It will lead you to worship. You will have a wonderful experience in the Lord as you grow closer to Jesus. But you know what you've got to do? You've got to obey. You've got to take that first step of faith. Amen? Let's pray together.
As I said, we're going to have a time of response. We're going to sing a song together. I'll be at the front. There'll be others.
This is your time to respond to Jesus. You may just need to come and kneel in prayer. You may need to come and someone will pray with you. You may need to come. You've never accepted Jesus. This is your time to come and let us talk to you about what it means to accept Jesus. There may be another decision you need to make public today. This is your time to respond. Father, we just pray that you would give us the strength to be obedient, to respond as you lead. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Come every soul by sin oppressed, there's mercy with the Lord, and he will surely give you rest by trusting in his word. Only trust him.
Let's have a prayer and then we'll have some announcements. Father, we thank you for this day you've given us to be here. We thank you for the words that we've heard, the songs that we've sang. I pray, Lord, that we would take it to heart, that we would change. May we never come to a worship service and not be changed, Father. May you change our hearts. Help us to believe when we don't see the fish, when we don't see how it's going to work. We don't even think it's going to work. Help us to cast out the net, Lord, and obey you. Thank you, Lord, for Reverend Wood, who came to bring the message. May you watch over us as we go home. And we just praise you today. In Jesus' name, amen. Just have a few announcements. We do have business meeting right after service today. If you're a member, you're encouraged to stick around for that. And if you're a visitor, you're welcome to stay. Also, in you can check your bulletin for all the ministry opportunities that's in there. There's quite a few things that you can get involved in. God Works is mentioned in there, Sterling House. Also, I believe is the Tuesday night women's Bible study canceled? Okay, that's going to be canceled. Service tonight is canceled. And let's see if I'm forgetting something. The year-end contribution statements are in the back. If you didn't pick those up yet, there's someone back there now. We're going to take a little break here just for a few minutes while we get some microphones down there and get things ready for business meeting. Anybody else? Did I miss anything? I don't think so. Okay. Well, you're liberty to go then.